in Ephesians chapter number 4. So I would pray, if I were you, I would pray for peace in Jerusalem. I would also pray that they would turn their hearts to the Lord. And don't jump on the bandwagon to be against Israel, and don't jump on to support everything that they do. Because I don't support everything non-Christians do, because I don't support everything Christians do. But if you're saved, at least you got the Lord in you, right? And your understanding's going to be a little bit better. Oh, I'm jumping into my message today. We'll see this in the message today. You say, I know, Pastor, the world's a crazy place. And I was saying yesterday, prophecies are unfolding before our eyes with Damascus and Israel and all that. And even so, one of these days, the Lord's just going to come. And till he comes, pray, study things out, but learn to walk the way God wants you to walk through this world. Don't let anything deter you from serving him and walking the way he wants you to walk. He still wants us to walk in unity. We talked about that last week. Now today, as we jump down to verse number 17 of our text, we're going to see some other things today that he wants us to walk in. Ephesians 4, look with me at verse number 17. The Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, or that former lifestyle, or the former way you walked, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So because of the fact that we've been given a new man, look at verse 25. "Wherefore, because of this, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Father, I pray you'd bless the next few minutes that we have this morning. We thank you for the blessings you've given to us. And Lord, as we look at your word today and we study this thing of walking in the newness of life, I pray that you would guide our hearts and get our attention today and help us as we look at this morning. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Do you know the Bible's not there just for you to look at and be like, oh, that's a good idea to do. The Bible's there so you'll read it and do what it says. The Bible makes it clear in James chapter 1, verse 22, to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. One of the best things we as God's people can do is obey and do what God says, because he knows what he's talking about. The Bible's not a suggestion. It's not just an opinion. There are a lot of opinions in this world about a lot of things. The Bible's not an opinion. The Bible's God's book with the way to live and the way to your life should be ran. Obey him, follow him. And this is what it comes down to. We mentioned it last week. Old Testament thinking is, if I obey him, he'll bless me. Well, he already blessed you with Jesus, you that are saved this morning. So since you're blessed, you should live for him. It's only reasonable that we would live for him after all that he's done. I don't live for him today, and I don't obey him for a blessing. I obey him and live for him because of what he's done for me in my life. And that's what this is all about. And as we look throughout this chapter and going into the next chapter, you'll see words over and over again, a therefore or a wherefore. Why are those words mentioned? Because of what he's done, this is how you should live. That's the meaning of it. And you'll see it over and over again. Since we're a new creature in Christ, therefore, put off the old man. Wherefore, put away lying. Is lying part of the new man that God's given to you? No. And we'll look at that more in a few minutes this morning. But as we look here this morning, we literally, think about this. It's time that Christians take the grave clothes off and walk like Jesus. I'll give you an example later on in the message, but Lazarus, when he was coming out of the grave there, remember, he stinketh. And after 4 days, I'm sure he stinketh. You know, bodies today, they put in a refrigerator, and they can last for a little bit of time in a refrigerator. But in those days, there was no refrigeration. His body had been there for a while, and when he came out, they took the grave clothes off of him. When you got saved, you were made a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away, and all things become new. You, that old man that was corrupt, that was dead, and all these things, that old man was dead that day, and you were given a new man. And you literally came out of the tomb ready to serve the Lord and ready to start the newness of life. The problem is too many Christians don't ever take the grave clothes off. They keep them on and live in them through their life. So let's take a few minutes this morning and talk about walking in the new life or walking in the newness of life, I think is a better way of wording it. Number one this morning, a Christian should not imitate the life of the unsaved. I'll repeat that one more time. A Christian should not imitate the life of the unsaved. Now, as we look at this morning, and I want you to understand, a Christian is not someone who calls himself a Christian. A Christian is someone who's trusted in Jesus Christ. There are lots of people who claim to be Christian who know nothing about Jesus Christ, and if you're going to be a Christian, you better know who Jesus is, and you better make sure that you understand who he is and what he's done for you. As we look at this, the Bible's very clear. There are some positive things mentioned, and there are some negative things and things that we are to stay away from in our Christian life. We look at verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore," after he's talked about the unity that needs to be built among believers, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk." Do you see that there? "They henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." That word Gentiles there is not referring, because this morning, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, right? That's the way it works. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, and Christ came to die for Jews and Gentiles, and in him we're all one. That's Bible. We don't like to quote that sometimes, but that's Bible. That doesn't take away from the children of Israel being God's people. That doesn't lighten that at all. But just because they're God's people, if they don't come to a saving knowledge of him, it doesn't mean anything to be his people if you don't have a saving knowledge of him and you're saved. It does you no good. But as we look here, when it mentions the word Gentile here, it's not talking about us as Gentiles. It's talking about this world and the way the world lives. Matthew chapter 6 says this is what all the Gentiles seek, right? Clothing, food, all those things. But don't seek those things. And as we look here this morning, the Christian should not imitate the world. And you got to understand this when we look at this. This world is dead in their trespasses and sins. The fact is, while we've been raised to life and we've been made alive this morning, those without Christ are not. And there's a major difference this morning between a Christian and a non-Christian. And this morning, it's not that we are better than anyone else in any other place, but the fact is, when we got saved, God did a work in us that has not been done in those that don't know Christ. So it's not me that's more special than anyone else. It's my Savior and what he did for me and how he changed my life. You see, as we look at these verses this morning and we think about the fact that a Christian should not imitate the life of an unbeliever, we got to understand a few things. A Christian thinks differently than a non-Christian does. Although today there are not many Christians that think differently than the unsaved do, which doesn't make sense to me. You notice it talks about there in verse number 17, those Gentiles, they walk in the vanity of their mind. But you see in verse 23, as a believer, we are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, that's a major difference. Those without Christ, their mind, it's vain, it's empty. It's not there. Where with the Lord, it's there. Verse under 18 talks about that those without Christ don't have any understanding. Their understanding's darkened. That's why I'm amazed at Christians. We look at this world and we expect this world to understand our Christian values and why we do what we do. How is someone who's had their understanding darkened going to understand what we do and why we do it? An unsaved person's not going to understand why you go to church. An unsaved person's not going to understand why you give money at church, why you read your Bible. They're not going to get it. But at the same time, someone that's not saved, they might go to Vegas and go spend a bunch of money in some casino and end up leaving with nothing. Because I don't know if you noticed, those buildings are very nice in Vegas. Vegas wasn't built by winners in the games. There's a lot of losers that make certain people big winners. That's the way it works. But this world would think nothing of a weekend in Vegas and spending thousands of dollars on drinking and all these things. But you're weird because you go to church and you give to God. You see, it's the same sort of thing, except you get nothing in return when you give in this world, where with the Lord you do. But their understanding is darkened. There's ignorance there. They haven't learned Christ. Salvation begins with repentance. And what is repentance? A changing of the mind. This world and those unsaved have not changed their mind towards the things of God. They don't get it. They don't understand it this morning. You see, if we want to know what this world does, and I know I don't have a lot of time this morning, but I want you to see it. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. We quote this often, but a lot of times we don't even look at this passage and see what it actually says. When you take God out of a society and when you have this world, this is what happens. Look down at verse number 18. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Everyone that comes into this world is given a little bit of light. Everyone knows there's a God. Everyone does. Doesn't mean they know who the right God is, but everyone knows there's a God. It's why you can go in the middle of nowhere in India or somewhere there, and they have all these little idols that they, how did they know they should? Everybody worships something. It's in us to worship. That's why a lot of people today, they don't worship a God, they worship themselves, because they are as God. But anyways, let's keep on reading here. Verse number 20. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. The sky declares the fact that there's a God. Just look at the mountains out there. Look at the ocean. Look at the flowers blooming and try and tell me there is not someone that created that. Everybody knows it, and no one has an excuse because the heavens declare the fact that there's a God. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, just read through here, and if this doesn't describe our world today, I don't know what does. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which they did meet. And even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Does that not look like America today? And the answer most Christians have is, we need to get this world to think the way God wants them to think. They're not going to. The only hope we have for politicians and people in places to do what's right is not by making them have the stand I have. The only hope we have for them to do what's right is to get Jesus Christ to them and let him change their heart. That's what we need today. It's so important, and we look, a Christian should not imitate the life of the unsaved. Our world today, doesn't it possess a lot of knowledge in reality? Look at all that can be done and all that is done today. Just if you notice, I'm driving a Range Rover out there today. It's not my car. Someone said, Pastor, we're going to have to cut back on what we pay you. No, let's not do that. It's if you remember Brother Jay that used to lead the singing here, he's got a side business where he bought three very nice cars and he rents them out on Turo or one of those things. And so they live in Orange County by the airport and all that stuff. So they rent out their car and it pays the payment on them. And before too long, they'll all be paid off and they'll be his cars. So I got in this Range Rover on Friday night because his oldest son got married. I get to the airport and I find the car. I had to call them. And from their phone in Texas, they unlocked the car for me to get in it. And I sat in there, and I'm like, whoa, look at all these bells and whistles. Didn't have a clue about half of it. The worst part was I bumped a button I didn't know I bumped. And I set it that the car would not go above 17 miles an hour. I didn't know there's a button to limit the speed. I don't know. So I left the airport. I must have bumped it at the light at Archibald. So Archibald, I'm going over the bridge on the 10. And I'm in the car, and I'm pumping the gas, and it's doing nothing. It's going 17. And I'm like, is this car broken? What's wrong with this stupid car? And then all of a sudden, I see this thing on there that had like a line through it. I'm like, I just hit it, and then I took off. There's a lot. You know, you look at cars how they used to be. I remember my first, an 89 Nissan Pathfinder. That was my first car. And there was no bells and whistles in that thing. The coolest thing was the windows went up and down with a little button in there. But you couldn't unlock it with a remote. You didn't have any of those things. And now cars are limiting how fast you can go by hitting a button. You should have seen me. That was pretty. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, great, I'm going to break Jay's car and everything else. But he's the dummy that loaned it to me. So it's his own fault that he loaned it to me. But this world, there's a lot of things, a lot of knowledge and things. But you got to understand something. Spiritually speaking, they don't have it. It's darkened. They're alienated from God, the Bible says. They think they're wise, but we got to understand something, that Satan has blinded their minds to the truth. The Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It tells us in verse 3 through 6, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, and you notice it's a small g there, so we know it's talking about Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible's very clear, and we see the fact, and we understand it. So because of this, we cannot pattern the way we live after the way this world lives. We simply cannot. Because if you're a child of God this morning, you've been made alive. You actually can discern spiritual things. This world cannot do it. So why should a Christian live like an unsaved person? You see, the Lord has done so much in us, and because of that, Paul says, hey, Christian, don't imitate this world and those that are lost. Number two this morning, we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. We are to put off the old man and put on the new man. As we look at that thought, we jump down there to verse number 20. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. And if someone wants to live after this world and live the way the unsaved do, you don't understand Jesus and you haven't learned who he truly is. But if so, and since ye have heard of him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul, as he says, hey, Christian, don't live like the unsaved. Don't live like the Gentiles do. Live like Christ. You know, you notice in that phrase in verse 20, it doesn't say that you so learned about Christ. It says you've learned Christ. You know, there are many people who have died before us that I couldn't go read a book about them. I don't know, I'll throw out George Washington. I can read many books about George Washington, and I can learn about his life and about him. But I cannot learn George Washington because he's not here. Not only does the Bible tell you about Jesus, but you can learn Jesus because he's alive today. We must put off the old man and put on the new man. You'll notice that the Bible talks about it here in the next verse, if so that you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We understand that this morning, that the truth is in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto God but by him. The unsaved are spiritually ignorant. Well, a Christian cannot claim ignorance to spiritual things because of the fact that they're saved. You see, the old man here is referring to the former life. It's referring to before Christ. You know how you got that in a calendar? B.C. and A.D. So the old man is your B.C., before Christ. So let's think for a second. Who you were and what you were doing before you got saved. How many of you got saved as an adult? Would you raise your hand? Okay, how many of you got saved as a teenager? How many of you got saved as a kid? How many of you aren't saved yet? You need to get saved. I was just seeing if I get anybody's hand to go up right there, see? You might not put your hand up at the end of the message when I say it, but I almost got you. I almost got somebody. So funny, sometimes I'll do an invitation, I'll ask if someone really knows the Lord, and someone I know that's saved, but they hear the question wrong, and they shoot their hand up thinking I'm saying, are you saved? Yes, I am! And then they're like, oh, he meant no. And then, you know, the hand goes down real quick, and they try to understand that. The old man is B.C. before Christ, who you were before Christ. And some of you don't even, you know, come on, I was 5 or 6 years old, 7 years old. I don't even know truly what I was before Christ. I didn't have time to experience all of what I was before Jesus. And thank God for that. But as we look here, we see you're to put off the old man, the former life. Put it away. Why? Because you can walk in Jesus Christ today. You have the new man. Why would you want, okay, well, we talk about grave clothes. Let's go to cars. You have an old beat up Ford truck. A 62, no power steering, nothing. An old truck that you can barely get started, barely go down the road, and someone gives you a brand new, free Ford or Chevy, whatever you are, brand new truck. I'm just going to take the old one out all the time because I love the old one so much. You can't even turn the steering wheel in the old one. Why would you take the old one out when you've been given a brand new one? Well, there's sentimental value in that old one. I like the old one. Yeah, that's part of the problem. So we walk through this life, we're not supposed to walk as this world walks, but we must put off the old man and put on the new man. You see, we could go to Romans chapter 5 through Romans chapter 8 and understand that our identification, what is baptism? You identify with Christ. So just picture it for a second. You're there. The water's here. What does that kind of look like? Looks like a cross. You're buried down represents what? The fact he was buried. And you're raised to walk in the newness of life. It shows us, it identifies us with what Christ has done. And isn't that what he's done with us? Our sin, our old man, was crucified on a cross. Do you realize that today? The old man was put in a grave, and the old man is dead. You are no longer servants to the old man. You don't have to say yes to sin. You can say no through Jesus Christ today. Sin does not have dominion over God's children any longer. And as Christians, and as we understand this, we have not simply changed our minds. We've been changed completely. We've been made a new creature. The old's been taken away, and God's made something new out of us. We've got new citizenship. Everything's changed. We are a new creature in Christ. So the old life shouldn't control the Christian any longer. I mentioned it earlier, but think about this Lazarus, those grave clothes in John 11:39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And we look at verse 44 of that same chapter, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." But that's how most Christians live the Christian life. They're bound. I'm going to just go through life and go this way. You've been set free from your sin. You are a new creature in Christ. Live it. Walk in it. You don't have to live like this world today, and you shouldn't. That's why Christians live the way the Lord wants you to. A new creature in Christ doesn't fornicate. A new creature in Christ doesn't commit adultery. A new creature in Christ doesn't lie. A new creature in Christ doesn't sin and get angry. A new creature in Christ doesn't get bitter. A new creature in Christ doesn't let corrupt things proceed out of their mouth. You see where we're going here in just a minute. We're to put off certain things. Put away the old man. Don't let him have dominion any longer. Through Christ, we've been given a new position. And we look there, how do we walk in the new man? Look at verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see how that connects, verse 22 and 24? 22 tells us to take off the old man. Verse 24 tells us to put on the new man. How do we do that? Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible tells us, how do we renew ourselves? Through the word of God, right? It's through the word of God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, they present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world push you into a mold. Don't be what this world wants you to be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, and you got to understand something. What is truth? How are we going to transform ourselves and not let this world conform us into what this world wants us to be? What did Jesus say in his prayer? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This world will try to preach truth to you every day, and their truth is not truth. Say, well, how dare you say that someone's truth is not truth? This is what the standard is for truth. There is no other standard. Well, I just don't know what God, I don't care what you think about what God says. Because when God says it, or God's, it's in his word, it's right. But this was written a long time ago, and God doesn't understand the way people are today. God understands everyone. He made everyone. He knows why people are the way they are today. He knows the wickedness in the heart. He knows all those things. His book is still relevant today. His book is still right. It's still truth. There is no truth outside of this book. So we must renew ourselves in the truth. Why do Christians let this world tell them what is right and what is wrong, and then they're okay with it? Because they're not in the book. That's the problem. Well, all this stuff, gay marriage is okay. What does that book say? Does that mean we hate people, we're against people? No, we love people. And if they knew Jesus Christ, they wouldn't do the things that they do. But pastor, we need to be tolerant of all things. Show me that in the Bible. Oh, I forgot. We're to be tolerant of all of their things, but they aren't tolerant towards anything that we stand for. The loudest preachers of tolerance are the biggest hypocrites on this planet Earth, because they don't have a tolerance for me and what God's word says, but they want me to be tolerant of them. See, I'm not trying to get you to be mean and ugly this morning. I'm trying to get you to realize if you're going to stand for what's right in our world today, you better be in this book. Because if you're not in this book, this world is going to get to you and mold you into what it wants you to be. Because you must renew your mind by being in the Word of God. Because when you're bombarded with lies, you start believing those lies. You really do. That's why you need to be very careful what you listen to online and everywhere else and everything else in your lives, because there's one source of truth. It's right here. So what about those areas that are grayscale? There are grayscale areas, isn't there? It would be much nicer if everything was just a black and white issue and we could just real quick know right or wrong. There's not always that way. But do you know the Lord does give you a Holy Spirit? He's still the third part of the Godhead. Anybody know who I'm talking about this morning, the Holy Spirit? Yeah. He can still guide you into all truth. We need to be in the Word of God. It will help us and guide us. We need the truth that comes from it. So we see the fact this morning, we are to walk in the newness of life. A Christian shouldn't imitate this world. We also see the fact that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. And then number three and lastly this morning, how we can apply this truth to our lives and live it out. I love how Paul does this here. He literally tells us, he gives us great examples of it. So as we look here and as we tie everything together, as we get to the end of the message here this morning, Paul basically says, hey, Christian, you're to walk in unity and walk in the newness of life. Now, how do we walk in the newness of life? Here are several key areas. First one, are you ready? Lying. A Christian shouldn't lie. Right? This world will lie about anything. And most Christians will lie about anything. If you're a child of God, quit living the way the world does and tell the truth. When you lie, are you acting like Jesus or are you acting like Satan? Satan, right? Because he's the father of all lies. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, as a child of God, we should be living like the Lord, right? So, Pastor, you're telling me that I don't need to walk the way this world does, and I need to put on the new man and put off the old man. Yes. How do you do it? Stop lying. But everybody does it. Does that make it right? Oh, but it's just a little white lie. No, you're like, well, Pastor, my wife came up to me and said, does this make me look fat? She was setting you up by asking you that question. You say, well, what am I supposed to answer then? Wives, don't say your husband's up for failure, number one. But the second thing is, your wife's always beautiful, so tell her that and leave it there. That's the way to do it. Say, well, she asked, no, I know. Anyways, that was supposed to be a little bit of a joke. Some of you smiled. You know what I'm talking about with that. How does my hair look today? It looks like you stuck your finger in a light socket. That's not going to go very good, you know? That's not going to get you very far. So it looks beautiful. It's much better than my hair or having no hair, whatever the case may be, you know? And so, but lying, let's stop the lying. Tell the truth. Why should we tell the truth? Look at what it says there. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for members one of another. Just tell the truth. Live out the truth. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. It's a pretty simple verse to understand right there. You see, you are saved by truth. You are to live by truth. And guess what? You should act with truth. You want to put off the old man? Tell the truth. That's one way you can do it. What's another one, Pastor? Letter B, anger. Anger is an emotional arousal caused by something that displeases us. Anger in itself is not sin, right? Because the Bible says that even. It's clear. God gets angry, right? The Bible's clear on that. Several times in the Old Testament, and for sake of time, we can't go there, but you could look up this phrase, you know, the anger of the Lord. A holy anger of God is part of his judgment on sin. Jesus got angry when he cleansed the temple, right? And turned the tables over there. But I want you to understand something, and even anger is considered kind of like a fire, right? Being kindled. Sometimes a man's anger smolders, and this is what we would call malice, where we let it drag out. This anger can destroy, can lead to wrath. You got to understand something today. There's a difference between a holy, righteous anger and the anger that we have most of the time. We don't get angry at people because they're hurting God. We get angry at people because they hurt me. Do you see the difference there? There's a big difference there. How dare you talk to me like that? Or how dare you do that to me? That's not a holy, righteous anger. That's a prideful anger. Anger comes. What you do with your anger determines if it is sin or not. Anybody in this last week get angry about something? Sure, we all have, right? Was it righteous or was it not? And then did you deal with it or did you let it drag out? Bible says, be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon it, right? Handle it. I was talking to someone this week. They're having some issues with things. And, Pastor, I'm so angry. Those were the words. And it was 3 days later. I'm like, and these were my exact words. You know what you've done? You've given the devil a nice little spot in your life to go after you because you won't let go of the anger. And, but Pastor, they've hurt. They made me so mad. Go to them and seek reconciliation. Didn't we talk about that in the past? But they don't want to hear it. Then bring someone, a mature Christian, with you and try and handle it. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow. There was this guy that was trying to defend his temper, and he said this, I explode, then it's all over with. And a friend replied, yes, but it's kind of like a shotgun. Look at the damage you leave behind. The difference between a shotgun and a regular gun is that shotgun you let off on those shells is a broad spectrum, where you use a handgun or just a bullet. It's got one target, one spot. You let your anger flow, it just, there's damage all over the place, and it hurts people. And hey, Christian, you can be angry for righteous things, and anger's going to come, but deal with it and don't let it stay. That's what it means to put off the old man and put on the new. Next one, letter C, when it comes to stealing. Bible's clear right here. Look at what it says. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And I don't have time to go deep, but you realize all these things, the devil is a liar. The devil's anger, what has that done to him? There's a lot we could say there. He's a thief, right? He's come to steal and to kill. Isn't that what the Satan's come to do? See, these are all those former things. Hey, Christian, don't steal. So what do you mean? We look and the Bible's clear and we see this thing. Back in the Old Testament, God gave commandments. He instituted the fact that people have a right to private ownership of property. A man has the right to turn his strength into gains and to keep that gain and to use it as he sees fit. That comes from the Bible. We live in a day and age where, oh, that person's wealthy, so they should have to pay for my college. Go get a job. Work with your own hands. Don't take someone else's money. Do your job. We don't like that, do we? I think the Bible says something about that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Is that in the Bible? That is in the Bible. And if you notice, it's there in your notes, isn't it? Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I put it there so you wouldn't say, Pastor went off on something that he doesn't even know what he's talking about. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. So work. Why should you work? And you says it says with your own hands. You see that there? And then look at the rest of it. So that you can give to those that need. Say, but why would I give to those that need? They need to go work for themselves. What people would say. And they should. But there are times that people have needs, isn't there? You be honest about your things and you go work, and then when you can, you help those who you can help. That's Bible. That's the way God intended to be. God didn't design a society to live on welfare. Now, before I go deeper into that, there are some people who cannot work, and we understand that. Although, just about anybody can work at McDonald's. You can make $20 an hour now, wiping the table off at McDonald's. And I might go do that. I might make more money doing that. Anyways, no. But there are some people that cannot work. And God is all for helping those people. God is for that. But if someone can literally get up and work, guess what they should do? Work. That's Bible. Laziness is not a disability. And that's all I'll say, and I'll leave that there. I got to say these things now because at the next service, people online can hear all these things that I say. And if you say, would you not say these same things? Oh, I'll say them, but I say them in a different way, but I still say the same thing. So some of you in this service, you've been a Christian a long time, longer than I've been born. You got socks older than me. I understand that. And so I can be a little bit more frank with it with you, where I'm going to say the same thing in the next service, but you got to sprinkle a little sugar, you know. A little spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. You ever hear that thing there? And so do I get the same truth out next service? Yes, but there's a little sugar on there because there are some young Christians that just need a little help with that. Don't steal. Don't get angry. Don't lie. Next, letter D. Watch what you say. You're supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man. You shouldn't have corrupt speech. Bible tells us in verse 29, look at what it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to the good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Do you know something? What do you know two things that are connected? Your heart and your mouth. They're connected. Out of a good heart, good things come out. Out of a bad heart, corrupt things come out. Right? So you were given a new heart when you got saved, right? That word corrupt means rotten, dirty, filthy, whatever you want to do. A Christian should not have anything corrupt inside. And what we say should bring honor and glory to the Lord. If you're going to put off the old man, put on the new man, watch what you say. Your heart's been changed. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to speak life into someone, and you have the ability to speak death into someone by what comes out of your mouth. The Bible says, as a believer in Jesus Christ and you put on that new man, what you say should build people up. But you hear about how bad that person is? Oh, grace should be in all of it, right? How about how awful we truly are? If it were not for the grace of God and all that he's done for us. So why don't you be a little graceful in the way you speak about someone? But Pastor, they're a jerk. I get it. There are a lot of jerks in this world, right? I know a lot. Sometimes I'm a jerk, right? No, don't, not me. I'm talking about you for yourself. Yes, I am. And I hope I'm never a jerk to you, but we all are jerks at times. We all are the bad things. Hey, when we speak, put a little grace on it. Man, the other day I had some French fries. I don't know why I had French fries. I shouldn't. But there's nothing worse than a bland fry. And especially some places, their fries are just terrible to begin with. Like In-N-Out. I don't know what, you know, there are some people, those In-N-Out fries are good. No, they're not. They are terrible. I mean, it's just like, just go take a potato and just, you know, literally, they're so fresh. Give me the chemical-filled, hot, fresh McDonald's fry with salt on it, and I will be just fine. You get fresh, hot McDonald's fries. I don't need ketchup for it. I need nothing. Give me the cup of them, and I'll just eat them. Say, how often do you go to McDonald's? Hardly ever. But when I do, I will get fries because they're good. I don't, if I go to In-N-Out and I do have fries, I rarely get fries. But when I do, I have to have a big old cup of ketchup there because you have to cover up whatever that is with the ketchup. But man, you get a good fry with salt on it, you're just like, that's good. That's how our communication should be. People should be able to look at the way we talk and how we communicate with others. That's good. It's the truth. Do people do that when they talk to you or when they're done? Oh boy, I shouldn't have talked to them today. Hey, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And next, letter F. Don't let bitterness get inside. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You'll notice a lot of those things were just mentioned in the previous verses, right? Those are the things we're to put away. We're to put on the new man. And look at the last verse. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You want to live out putting on the new man? Be kind. Put away all the other stuff. Stop your lying. Stop your corrupt communication. Stop your anger. Stop your stealing. Stop your bitterness. And just be kind. Because isn't that what God did for us? Didn't we talk about that on Easter Sunday? But after that, the kindness of God toward man appeared in Jesus Christ. Bitterness. There are many Christians today that have let bitterness creep into their lives and in their hearts, and it's just there eating them up. And bitterness is something that when you let it fester and stay, it hurts you. And the roots of bitterness spread, and they're there. And we got to be very careful when it comes to this. The Bible talks about husbands shouldn't be bitter against their wives. And we see the root of bitterness and all these things. There's so much to it. Bitterness in the heart makes us treat people the way Satan treats people, not the way that Jesus treats people. And if we're going to, in God's merciful kindness, we were forgiven just like we should forgive others. That's why every once in a while, people come to me, Pastor, I've got some bitterness in my heart towards this issue. And we go through a process together where we figure out, and this is where this one hurts everyone. I will say in 1 week, hey, next week when we meet, and I'll do meetings once a week, I'll be like, when we meet, I want you to write out everything you're bitter at everybody about. You know, that's an easy list for everyone to write. I had someone come back the next week with 10 pages. I'm like, wow, that's a big list. And do you know my name was on there? And you told me to be honest. You did this, Pastor. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I did that to you. So, it's weird reading through, and Pastor did this. And I'm like, is this a previous pastor you're talking about? No, it's you. I'm like, oh, great. Wonderful. I didn't even realize that. And so, anyways, after they make their long list, I'm like, all right, we're going to keep this. I'm going to keep this here at my desk. What I want you to do this week, I want you to list every terrible thing you've ever done against God in your life. Every single one. That's not as easy for people to write. And what the object is, and it's only happened one time that we've actually gotten it done. Most people don't return at this point. You write out all these things and you bring it back, and after we read them, I take my lighter in my office and we burn it, because God's forgotten about it all. And if God can forgive us and all that we've done to him, we need to get rid of that bitterness and let the Lord help us forgive and move forward in life. Many Christians are stuck today because they can't get rid of this bitterness, when the Lord has the way for us to get rid of that bitterness. And you got to put off the old man and put on the new man. So in 2 weeks, we've seen the fact, how should we live today? We need to walk in unity, and we need to walk in the newness of life.